This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett and you are joining me for part two of a two-part series about closing SEO clients. So if you haven't checked out part one, go and check out episode 107. This is episode 108. And the link is peteeverett.com/107, or go and find it in your podcast player, or go and listen to that bit first, because there's a few bits in there that you're going to need to know before you dive into this bit. If you've already listened to that bit, I hope you got a load of value out of it. And let's move on to part two. So part two is about how to sell clients, how to sell SEO retainers, how to close SEO retainers for brand new clients, so clients that you haven't worked with before. And a bit like at the start of the previous episode, there are a sort of disclaimer or two that I need to mention before we dive into this. And this is simply around the fact that not all clients are a good fit, and that you really need to be on top of your vetting process, and don't be afraid to say no to clients, that particularly new clients, that are not going to fit with your process and not going to fit with your systems, and ultimately that you don't really like working with. I mean, that's when it comes down to bare bones. If you don't like working with people, you know, move on. They should move on too. There'll be a better supplier that is a better fit for them. So yeah, if they're not a good fit, they're not a good fit. Just accept that, please. Take my word for it. Been burnt way too many times. So in order to sort of vet these people out, we've come up with a two-stage sales process in order to, before we even start talking about retained services. And that's basically so that we've got a protection mechanism in place. So by the time we get to a retained service, we have worked with the client before. Now, I will be perfectly honest and say sometimes we only do the first part of this, because if the client seems to be a really good fit, then we roll straight into it. However, I'd say a good 50 to 60% of the time we do both sides of this process. Now, I'm sort of, I suppose, in the fortunate position that we have the skill set and the resources and the tools, etc., to do this in our agency. If you're using a third party supplier, a white label partner, somebody like SEO Hive that I'm obviously going to mention, really, you know, the first part of this might be the easier part for you to do, and then move into some kind of retained agreement. The point is, though, make sure you've got something in there that allows you to experience working with the client and the client experience working with you. Don't forget, it works both ways around, so that you've got that level of protection in place. So the first thing that we offer for brand new clients is a fixed price SEO health check. And this is fixed price for every client that comes through the door and says, hey, do you guys do SEO? We do. And it's going to cost you £395 plus VAT for us to take this discussion any further. So what we have is a fixed price SEO health check, as I said. And this means that we have a really quick and easy sales process for this health check, because it's always the same every time. So we have a templated proposal. We just need to change a few details. What we do is we offer to run the health check, and we offer to do some work as well, and then run an hours consultancy. If you've not got that skill set, it might be that you just do the health check and the hours consultancy to really get, I'm calling it an hours consultancy, it's really a discovery call, so that you can get your teeth into, get into the bones of what the client is trying to achieve, what their main products and services are, where you can make the most benefit to them by offering SEO services. And as I say, we then do a bit of work for them. We run a second report so that they can see a progress between the first and second report. So our offering, as I've mentioned, is £395 plus VAT. And that is set, it's not dirt cheap, it's not mega expensive either, but it's an entry-level price point, and part of that is so that they get used to paying me money for my advice, or paying us money for our advice. you know, we're a business, we're not a charity, we do want to help people, but on the same note, they need to help us. If we're putting our time and effort and skills into something that we've spent years crafting, then there needs to be some level of return. So what we include, as I say, is the initial health check. We do 3 hours of work to action primary fixes. Now, if we don't get through all the primary fixes, or if there's things that we think should be done and they're kind of emergency items, then we can quote those separately off the back of this. We don't do that very often, but it is something we occasionally do, particularly if we find something that is fairly dire and we need to do something about and we can't fix it in 3 hours. We then rerun the health check, as I mentioned, so that the client actually gets to see two, one which was a statement of fact before we started and one which is a statement of fact after we spent a few hours on it, so that, you know, they've had some return. And then a 1 hour consultancy call or discovery call to go through all the results and to discuss the next steps. So that's the first productized element. The second element, which we, as I say, we do 50 to 60% of the time, I suppose, is a second one-off project to do with keyword research and mapping. And again, this then means that I also have the tools in order to do this and the skill set. This time it's a slightly higher value, and we price this at £795 plus VAT. So by the time you add the VAT on in the UK anyway, you're starting to tip around about £1,000 as the project value. So again, it's a price point that's been put there to extend the new client's sort of budget with me. They're getting used to paying me slightly larger sums of money at this point. So it's not just any money, it's a slightly bigger sum of money. And actually realistically gives them a flavor of what it's like, what the value is that they're going to get back for that sum of money and how much work we can do. Now, the project, the purpose of this keyword research and mapping project is twofold. One, it's for us to identify the difficulty of ranking the website in their niche for the key terms that they're going to need to. So, you know, until we've done this, we don't know how rubbish their website is until we've done the first bit of work, and we don't know how competitive their industry is until we've done the second piece of work. So we need those, both of those pieces of information in order to put a proper estimate together. The second thing is to highlight to the client exactly how much work needs to be done, so that really what you're looking for when you go through the results of this exercise with them is that they sit back in their chair and go, I've not got time to do all of that. Good news, because you might not have time to do that, but if you've got money, I can do it for you. This is a long game. You know, this isn't something that we're going to fix overnight. This isn't something that we can just fill in a few boxes and, hey, presto, you're going to be in page one of Google. This is actually about building those themes of trust and authority with the search engines. And I did mention that in part one. It's exactly the same themes. We're just approaching it from a different angle because, hey, this is a brand new client. The added benefit of this is that it means that should the client agree to a retainer, you've already started some of the admin work that you need to get on with in order for you to start delivering results. So you actually get onto your results a bit faster. Now, as I say, if we're not if we're confident enough after the first piece that we're going to go straight into the retainer, then we often skip this as a one-off project. We might roll this into the first month or the onboarding process. SEO Hive's process works exactly that way, that this keyword research piece becomes part of the onboarding phase. So depending again on how you're structuring your services and which third parties you're using, how you're actually actioning this, then you may need to sort of make this section part of the process that somebody else does for you. But it's nonetheless it's important to know how it works. So our own keyword research and mapping exercise, what does it include? Right, so firstly, we do full keyword research and competitor analysis. Now, from that, we need to spend some time with the client. So there's a bit of a call up front or a meeting up front, if the situation allows, that lets us discuss what their main products and services are. So we also maybe approach it from the other end as well. So some people are really well known for one thing, and that thing is, you know, keeping their business alive. So maybe the SEO approach needs to be not about that main product or service, but about all of the supplementary stuff that goes along, which currently isn't really washing its face. So you can discuss the approach that you're going to take with the client. They then give you the competitors that they see in their industry, I should say. But we also add to those competitors, because some of the competitors that you have in terms of the search engines are simply websites that are going after the same keywords as you. You need to be outperforming them. So you need to sort of maybe explain that to the client a little bit, that, yeah, absolutely, we contract ABC Limited because they're your main corporate competitor. But we're also going to, you know, track Nike or Adidas or whoever, because whilst they're not in the same industry as you, they're going after the same keywords. So we need to be able to compete with those guys as well.
That's maybe a bad example if you're trying to compete with Nike and Adidas, but you get the
picture. So that's the first thing. We do the keyword research and we do the competitor analysis. Now, we use SEMrush for all of that. We also use a tool called Mangles sometimes as well. So they're basically the two tools that we use in order to do this in our agency. We also use some of those tools in SEO Hive as well. We then do the keyword mapping exercise. So the point of a keyword mapping exercise is that you take an inventory of all of the pages that are on a website, and you've then got your new shiny keyword research that's based on competitor analysis and search performance and cost per click data and all of that kind of stuff, all of the good stuff. And then you try and match one to the other. So ultimately, to begin with, you start by looking at the hierarchy of the website that you're, you know, the existing website. You might need to make some tweaks there. You then can start assigning keywords to each page. We do this in a spreadsheet. And then we make notes about the work that's required. Even though you've got a page that's about egg timers, it might not be optimized for that. So do we need to optimize the copy? Are there any site hierarchy changes that we've put in place in order to get this page here? Are there related keywords to this that may require additional copy, in which case I'm going to mention those in a moment. And what are the internal links that we can build into and out of this page so that it's not just a standalone page on your website, but it's sort of netted into the web of your own website. I often explain this that WWW stands for World Wide Web. The internet is one big web of pages that are all connected together by using links. And your website is exactly the same. It's your own little bit of that web. So you need to make sure that you've got your internal links linking your pages together so that you don't just have a page that's isolated on its own, but it's connected properly into the infrastructure of your own website. So they're the things that we would include in the keyword mapping exercise. The next thing, or the second thing we'd also produce, is a content plan for any new keywords. So these are the keywords where, since once we've gone through the content mapping exercise, we don't have a home for them. They're leftovers. They're new. I can't think of another word off the top of my head. Or they are the related keywords from the service pages or the copy that you've already identified, but you know you might need a supporting blog for them or something like that. So the point here is that you end up with two documents. We use Excel sheets or Google Sheets for them. One which is the keyword mapping document itself, and the other which is the content plan, and that then identifies whether we need blog posts or service pages or educational content or whatever it might be, in order to complete this list of keywords. We also may identify places where we need to find inbound links from external sources where they would be good to come in, and the keywords that would be associated to those links as well. So at the end of the exercise, as I say, you really want the client to sit down, and we would arrange another call at this point. The client would sit down and think, God, there's a lot of work to be done here. And what we would do is we would always supply these two documents along with our SEO proposal in order to. So maybe they've just come and had two one-off pieces of work and we're putting another proposal down in front of them. But
we would then put our SEO proposal in place that goes along with this so that they know exactly what we're delivering. We're increasing their website health from X to over 90% is what we say. We are then going to help you rank for these keywords, and we're going to do that by restructuring or rewriting or modifying the copy on your existing website this way and adding copy for all of these keywords over here in a different way, which is itemized on these sheets. And we can get onto this for you for X amount per month. We would then follow up every couple of days. We'd talk them through that proposal because, as I say, that we have a closing meeting or a closing call at the end of this. So we'd talk them through it at that point, and we'd then follow up with them every couple of days, maybe do it every a couple of times up until 10 days have passed. And then we'd give one final follow-up 30 days later. Now, these are brand new clients, so I'm not going to go running around the hills chasing them. They either want it or they don't. And so far, I've had, what, £1,200 out of them plus VAT. So, you know, I'm not going to go sort of begging for their work. But on the same note, I will give them a chance 30 days later, maybe update some of those reports. If you listen to part one, we talk about putting in additional value because of the type of sale that you're making. So you might need to maybe update some of the reports. It's even better if they show that there's been a decrease in search positions or traffic or something, because that really then puts flesh on the bones that, hey, look, you're getting worse here. You need to do something about it. So, but that's how we go about it. Now, just to tie this up, over both parts of this episode, I suppose this is kind of the extra bit. I've mentioned our SEO proposal probably a dozen times. So just to give you a very quick breakdown of what that SEO proposal looks like, it's a document that's about 6 or 7 pages long, so it's not mega ridiculous. It does have a few key component parts to it, however. The first is that it has a cover letter, which explains what's in the document, so that, as I said, we present these documents normally. So the cover letter is really kind of the intro, which I don't say in the meeting, but it means that when the client takes the proposal away with them, or they're looking at it at a later date, they've got just 2 or 3 paragraphs. And when I say paragraphs, I mean each paragraph probably only has 2 or 3 sentences in it. But they've got an overview as to what this document's about. There's then a page that we call the SITREP or situation report, and that gives the top level figures, the SEO figures, as a statement of fact. So current site health, current number of terms on page one, current positions for key products and services, those kind of things, so that they can see where they're failing all on one sheet of A4 paper. We then have this is a little old school, but we do have a periodic table of all of the SEO factors, all of the SEO themes, which some clients find really useful because, again, it's about them understanding how many different factors that you have to take into account in order to get SEO to work for you. Some clients just glaze over that and just scroll on through, but I've tried removing it and I ended up being asked more questions, so I put it back in. So we have that periodic table. And then we have the kind of action plan for their website. So this is where we then start to tailor the proposal a little bit to recommend our products and services. And then finally at the back, we have our pricing specification and we have our terms of business with a project agreement form. So we will not start a retainer or any project as it happens until we've received that form signed, which is the client accepting the payment, accepting the terms of the terms of the proposal, and giving us the authority to act on their behalf. So until we've got that piece of paper signed. Now, when I say have that piece of paper, I do say to clients that as long as it's a PDF, we don't use a system like Better Proposals for our proposals, largely because the clients that we work with prefer PDFs, actually, or they prefer to be able to print it out. So we still do it as PDFs. And when I say send that back to me, I often say to them, look, you can either fill in the page, it's an interactive PDF, but you're going to need a copy of your signature. Or if you print the page out and take a photo of it with your phone and send it back to me, then I'll accept that as well. Or of course you can print it and give it back to me in paper form. That's entirely up to you. So that's that's how we actually get our proposal signed. And that's the same for both parts of this episode. I really probably should have mentioned that in part one, but I didn't. So you're getting that now. And that's how we work with new clients. We have a process in place. And I've said this before on the podcast, that any part of your sales process or any part of your delivery process is your responsibility. It's not up to your new client or your existing client to know how your process works. You have to have this process mapped out. And that's why I find these processes so invaluable and so important, because it means that I always know what's coming next. And it also means that I'm not then spending loads and loads of time trying to convince clients or chase clients when actually I should just be moving on to the next one. So I hope you found this episode really useful. Show notes can be found at peteeverett.com/108. And I'd love to know what you've thought about this mini series. So if you've got any feedback or you've got any questions, jump into our Facebook group and I'll see you there. See you next week.